This morning I want to bring you a message entitled, Asleep on a Pillow. Asleep on a pillow. Some of you look like that's where you want to be right now. In fact, some of you are already asleep even though you don't have a pillow, you know. But I want to bring this message as I believe that it communicates a message that perfectly corresponds with what we're dealing with this month, the subject of real peace. Now, as I consider this idea that Jesus was in the hinder part of a ship during the midst of a storm, asleep on a pillow, and the disciples wanted the Lord to wake up and rescue them, I'm reminded of a time many years ago when our family was leaving the United States of America to go to the mission field. I was about 13 years of age. It was close to my birthday, and we were flying to Seoul, Korea, where my parents had surrendered to go to from as missionaries. And we had gone through deputation, and we had raised the necessary funds. Freeway Baptist Church supported our family as we went to the mission field in the middle 70s. And I remember that day that we boarded the plane. Back then, you were allowed to walk right up to the gate with your guests. Some of you are able to remember back that far, aren't you? Before 9/11, when you could still walk right up to the gate and take your family members and loved ones right to the gate. And there were busloads of people from our local church that went to the airport and walked us right up to the gate. And I can remember all the emotion, the flood of emotion, as people were weeping and crying as we boarded that plane, and they wondered if we would ever see them again. And we were going thousands of miles away to live. And I can remember all my friends were there, and they were crying, and I was crying, and my parents were crying. And it was just an emotional time as we were saying goodbye. We thought for the last time that we might ever see some of these folks. And they were there and waving and singing, God be with you till we meet again. And how gut-wrenching it was. And as we traveled back then, they typically didn't have nonstop flights like they do now from Los Angeles all the way over to Seoul, Korea. Normally, you had to stop in Anchorage, Alaska, or you had to stop in Hawaii or in Guam or someplace like that to refuel. And we had to stop over in Hawaii. And my dad thought, I've been away from my family for months. I've been preaching to raise money, and we've been through a great ordeal. And we don't want to land on the mission field totally exhausted and disjointed. So he said, what we're going to do is we're going to stop in Hawaii and we're going to rest for a few days. And we're going to try to take in some of the sights before we continue on the next leg of the journey to go to Korea. And so we landed in Hawaii and we retrieved our baggage and we went and put our things in the hotel. My dad thought, we have just a little bit of time here in Hawaii and the kids have never been. And so I would like to take and show them some of the sights around the island. And they had the great idea, let's go to Pearl Harbor. And I had a grandfather, my grandpa Brennan, who was on the USS Wasp that was sunk there in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, so many years ago. And so they wanted to go and see the USS Arizona Memorial there and see Pearl Harbor and take in the sights. And so they were driving around and going by Diamond Head and everything. And I was sitting in the backseat of the station wagon that my father had rented for our family to go around in. And about 2 minutes after we got into the car, I was asleep in the hinder part of the station wagon. can I get a witness? Any of you like me? I mean, you get in a warm car after you're a little tired, long trip, you know, jet lag, things like that. A couple minutes into the trip, I was just out like a light, you know. And my dad's given us a tour. You know, kids, hey, kids, here's Diamond Head. You know, hey, kids, look here. Here's Waikiki Beach and everything. And we're driving around. And, oh, kids, look here. Here's this and that and everything. And we get to Pearl Harbor, you know, and here's the USS Arizona Memorial. And I'm in the back of the car, you know, and my dad's getting upset with me, you know. I didn't bring you 8,000 miles halfway around the world to be sleeping in the back of the car, you know. Well, you may never get a chance to see this stuff again. Now, wake up. And I'm like, And I'm drooling on myself and everything. And everybody's like, come on, Mark, shaking me and everything. And I'm upset because I'm tired. And they're wanting me to be awake to take this in and to see this. But I was asleep in the hinder part of that station wagon. It was kind of like a boat. You know? You remember those old station wagons, those country squire station wagons, you know, they rented one of those. And I can relate, here's the Lord sleeping in the hinder part of a boat, and everybody wanted him to wake up because something was going on that they wanted him to be aware of. And I believe that when we find ourselves in the turmoil of life, often rest eludes us. The peace that we yearn for seems to be the furthest thing from us. In fact, we are so often filled with trouble, we never really have the peace, and consequently, we never get the rest. How many of you have ever gone to sleep and you've slept maybe 7 or 8 hours only to wake up and you feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck? Some of you look like it this morning. Looks like you've been run over by a Mack truck. I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, brother, I could sure use a few more hours, you know. And some of you know exactly what that feels like. You feel like, man, I'm just tired all the time. And you realize that while your body may be conked out, you're not getting that soul rest. You're never really resting. And perhaps it's because you do not have real peace in your heart. There's something that's continuing to agitate the spirit and the soul such that you cannot get the peace and rest that your body, soul, and spirit are craving for. And yet we remember that the Bible tells us that Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. And I believe the peace that comes from a relationship with Jesus will give a person rest. And I believe that the Bible is true when it says in Psalm 127 that He giveth His beloved sleep. It is the Lord that can bless you with sleep in the midst of turmoil and strife in your life when you seem to have no peace. But I believe this, that God wants you to have genuine peace that the world cannot comprehend. Now, here was Jesus in a boat that we have just read the story of, the record of this taking place in His ministry. And He's back in the hinder part of the boat, and He was an all-wise God. He knew that that was the best place to be, to have the least rough ride. When you're in a boat. Now, how many of you know that? When you're in a boat, normally the hinder part of the boat is the place that's the smoothest ride. Isn't that right? Whenever I get on an airplane, I want to be on the wings. You know, I don't want to go this way. I want to be kind of centered in that plane, somewhere around there, you know. And so, but Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat. Now, a storm had risen and the boat was about to be swamped. And the disciples, they were troubled in their spirits because it seemed like they were in peril. And now while they're bailing water and trying to row to shore and going through everything that these mariners typically did to try to navigate a storm of this magnitude and nothing was working, the Lord was asleep. And they saw the Lord back there sleeping on a pillow. And they thought, we're going to die. You know, and they're crying out, help, you know, and the Lord's back there conked out. And he's in the back of the boat. He probably wasn't snoring. I don't know if he had sinus trouble, but he might have been snoring. I don't know, you know, but he was back in the boat and he was asleep and he was cuddled up to a pillow in the back of the boat. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I like that picture, don't you? Asleep on a pillow. You say, how could Jesus, in the midst of such a terrible storm, be asleep on a pillow? How is it that the Lord had that degree of peace that He could sleep in the midst of the peril? But the Bible tells us here, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Did you hear me? That they were about to drown, the boat was going to go under, and Jesus was asleep on a pillow. I wonder why Jesus could sleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship, I wonder why. Some people are getting this message about sleep on a pillow subliminally, and some of them are gone. Okay. Some folks in the hinder part of the auditorium. Some people are riding up here on the bow and they're sleeping too. And I'm only in this thing like 5 minutes, so I don't take it personal. I just think you're tired. It's not boring. I'm not boring. It's not a bad sermon, you know. But but look, I believe there are some reasons why the Lord could sleep in the midst of the storm. Now, folks, I want you to follow me on this and know that I'm not stretching this, and know that God has a message in here for you. How is it that the Lord could have such peace in the midst of such peril? Now, before we answer this question, let me ask you all a question. How many of you have ever been in a season that you would call perilous in your life? Let me see your hand. All right, raise it up big and high. Some people have two hands up, right? You've been in some perilous times. How many of you are going through some perilous times now? Yeah, me either. But here's the thing, folks. I'm saying that in the midst of a storm, Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Now, there's a message here, and I'm not just twisting to try to find something. I want you to notice this. Why is it that he could be asleep when everyone is in distress? I want you to see that, first of all, it is because of who he is. It is because of who he is. The Bible tells us in verse 38 that he was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They called him Master, and truly he was. And I want you to understand that he could be asleep on a pillow, in the hinder part of the ship, when everyone was running around, wringing their hands, bailing water, pulling oars, trying to figure out some way to rescue themselves. And they come to the Lord and they say, do you not care that we perish? And the Lord was sleeping, and he opened up his droopy eyes, and he's like, what's going on, fellas? And they said, hey, we're gonna drown here. Don't you care that we perish, Master? And by their statement, Master, it reveals to us who he is. And I want you to understand this, that he is the master of the storm, because he is God. The other day, I came in the auditorium, and sometimes, from time to time, when nobody's around, I'll come in here, and I'll just sing. And I was thinking about this sermon, and Pastor Eckleberry, I just began to sing, till the storm passes by, to Jesus. And the other day, I came in, and I began singing, He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why can he be asleep on a pillow in the storm? Because he's the Lord of the storm. Because he's the God of the sky. Because he's the God of the wind. Because he's the God of the sea. Because he's the God of the vessel. Because he's the God of the disciples. And he is the Lord. And as such, he is sovereign over all that will happen. And he knew what was going to happen in his sovereignty. And because of who he is, he could be asleep on a pillow in the hinder part of the ship. He is the Lord of all. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 11. And Dorinda has this verse on the back of her truck. And the other day the devil blew the window out of the back of her truck. It said Jesus Christ is Lord. And it blew out. And the devil doesn't like that. But the Bible tells us in Philippians 2 verse 11 that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? That he is the master. He's the Lord over everything. He is Lord of all. Pastor Eckleberry, one of the songs that I know you cherish in your heart is that song, Jesus is Lord of all. And I love that song, and I found myself rehearsing that in my mind as I thought about the fact that Jesus was asleep on a pillow, and he could sleep there because he is the Lord of all. Not only that, not only is he the Lord of all, but thirdly we see that he is the Prince of Peace. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 that Jesus Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that He's the King of Peace. And so do you know what? Though the world be coming apart at the seams around us, Jesus is not in turmoil because He is the Prince of Peace and He is the King of Peace. And God has never been distressed. God has never been in a dither about any storm. God has never been in a hurry. God has never been oppressed. Because He is God, and He was asleep in the midst of the storm. And while everyone on board, and everyone looking on, in that small armada going across that sea with the Lord, was distressed and thinking that they were in peril, He was asleep on a pillow. He was asleep on a pillow because of who He is. And I am saying this to you, that we ought to come to the place where we let Him be the master and the Lord of that thing that is raging against our life. Whatever it is, everybody in here today said, I know what it's like to have something raging in my life. I've had something perilous come upon me. And many folks in here today have had something perilous come upon them in recent days. I've talked to folks that have lost a house, folks that have lost a car, folks that have lost a loved one. I've talked to people that have lost a job. I've talked to people that have had financial reversal and they have health problems, some with the diagnosis of cancer, and their lives have been thrown into a tailspin, and they seem to be in perils and in tumults and thinking that my life is going to sink. I'm going to go down in the vortex of these problems in this whirlpool of trouble. And yet when Jesus is on board and He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow, it doesn't mean that He doesn't care. What it means is this, that He is God and that He's sovereign over that situation. And He wants us to come to Him and throw our care upon Him, knowing that He careth for us. They said, carest thou not that we perish? You know what? Jesus wanted them to come and ask that question just so that He could show them how much He really cared. Sometimes when we begin to question the goodness of God and the care of the Lord will allow a little turbulence into our life so that we come to Him so that He can reveal to us just how much He really does care. Amen. Now, folks, sometimes your kids, they get real independent and they want to make decisions all on their own. And Timothy's kind of getting that way, you know, and he wants to kind of march to his own cadence every once in a while. But, you know, one of the great things that happens in the life of a parent is when that independent kid every once in a while just comes and curls up in your lap and puts his head on your shoulder and wants to snuggle with daddy. And he just wants to know how much daddy really cares. Every once in a while, it takes the little unsettling things of life to put us in the lap of daddy. Amen. And I believe that sometimes it takes the turbulence of life and the turmoil of troubled waters to put us in the lap of our Heavenly Father, to come to a God that does care and just be affirmed in knowing that He does. And He was asleep on a pillow, but He is Lord of all. And He was able to sleep there with peace, perfect peace, because of who He is. And I want you to know that because of who He is, you can lay down your head and sleep securely, knowing that God is in control of the storms that have befallen you and that there is a purpose in every storm of life. We can rest securely in that. Not only did the Lord have the ability to sleep on a pillow because of who He is, but He had the ability to sleep on a pillow because of who He knows. You see, the Bible says in verse 39, He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. With authority, He rebuked. With authority. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said, all power, meaning authority, and all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. How was it given? It was imparted by God. It was His. But He knew the Father, and He had all power at His disposal, and He is one with the Father. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 30, I and my Father are one. If sometime you take a minute and read John chapter 14, what you're going to discover is that Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Father. And you know all things that were the Father's were given unto Jesus, and even heaven was his because Jesus is called the Lord of heaven and of earth. And he was able to sleep on a pillow, not only because he's God, not only because he's the Lord of all, not only because he's the Prince of Peace, but because of who he knew. And his Father was looking out for him, and his Father had willed for him to go and perform a specific purpose there upon the earth. And I want you to know something. The Bible reveals to us in the book of Psalm chapter 103 that he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Why? Because he created us. And anything that was made was created by Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. And that includes you and me. And Jesus, who made you, knows you. And he knows your frame. He knows your frailty. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knew the Father on an intimate level. And he knows you on an intimate level. In fact, better than you know yourself. And he will never allow you to go into a storm that he doesn't give you the wherewithal to get through. Did you hear that? He'll never allow you to go into a storm that he doesn't give you the wherewithal to get through. And I believe today there's somebody in the storm who's thinking, I don't know if I can get through this. I don't know if I can face up to this. And I'm saying to you that God is, when he's in the vessel, he's asleep on the pillow. You know what? He's not worried about it. And he's in control. Amen. I'm saying that God is the Prince of Peace. I'm saying that he knows that the Father has given all power, and he knows that he's one with the Father. He understands the purpose. And friends, when you know God, you can lay your head down on the pillow and sleep in the midst of the storm. Jesus had perfect peace because he is God. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. When I began to see myself in the person of Jesus Christ, guess what? I can lay my head down on the pillow in the hinder part of the station wagon in the midst of the storm and know that he is Lord of that storm. And I can have the confidence that he's going to see me all the way through it. You know what? When I see myself in Jesus, you know, when he goes to sleep, I'm at peace. You know why? He's in me and I'm in him. Asleep on a pillow. Amen. When I see myself outside of Jesus, guess what? I can put my head down on the softest pillow in the store and it's not going to work. You know that? When I see myself outside of Jesus, when I get in that boat and the waves start churning and I could have a Tempur-Pedic pillow. And guess what? It's not going to help. You know, I could have a Sleep Number bed. Okay, and guess what? It's not going to help me. I could have a Craftmatic bed, Sandy, and it's not going to help me, all right? I could have a Swedish Shiatsu massaging bed, and it's not going to help me. My friend, I'm going to say this to you. What's going to help me is to see myself in Jesus, and when he is in control and I see myself in him, then I can lay my head on a pillow and get soul rest. Asleep on a pillow. Why could Jesus have such peace in the midst of a storm? Because of who he is and because of who he knows. He's one with the Father. And I want you to remember that there have no temptation or trial or tribulation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will give you everything you need. You'll discover what he told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Amen. How could he sleep on a pillow? Lord, we're dying. God, don't you see? Don't you care? God, he's asleep on a pillow. My friend, what we need to see is ourself in Jesus. And he's in control. He's got it all in hand. He sees the beginning from the end. And I can rest in him because he is always at peace. And he is always at rest. And I'm saying to you, because he is God, he's the master of the storm. And because of who he knows, we can rest in knowing this, that he is God and he knows us. He knows our frame, and he will never bring one thing into our life to destroy us, only that which is for our good and his glory. Listen today, how could he sleep in the midst of such peril? How could he have such peace? Because, thirdly, of what he knew. Because of what he knew. You see, God had given him a purpose for coming to earth. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He knew that there was a purpose, and the purpose was the redemption of all mankind. And so while he was laying there, he knew, look, this boat's not going down because God gave me a purpose in coming to this. My Father gave me a purpose in coming to this earth. And until that purpose is served, guess what? The boat's not going to sink. Can I say something to you today? God has a purpose for your life. Jesus knew why he was there. He knew why he was there. Do you know why you're here? Do you have any idea why you're here? Was it just some freakish act of nature that caused you to show up on planet Earth? Huh? Every once in a while I talk to parents, you know, they have four kids and they say, we're all done. And then they bring a caboose along, number five comes, and they call him the accident. I had a secretary, and she had three boys and a girl, and they thought, we're all done, you know. So the husband had surgery to fix it. and about a month later, guess what? She said, honey, I think there's a problem here. Houston, we have a problem. And sure enough, man, God gave him another one. That was the caboose. And they looked at that kid through that glass and they thought, we have no idea why you're here. You know, and that's kind of like a lot of Christians today. You know, man, they kind of look their life in the mirror and they think, I have no idea why I'm here. I'm just taking up space and breathing air and creating green gas emissions on this planet. You know, why am I here? I tell you, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose that he intends for you to fulfill. Can I submit this to you today, Brother Hilmer? Can I submit this to you today, Miss Ruth? That, listen, God's letting you nudge 90, nudge 100. Brother Lynn, nudge, and sometimes I talk to folks and they say, and I know you're not saying this, but what I hear is, I don't even know why I'm here anymore. You see, the reason that you're here may not be evident to you in this moment, but it doesn't mean there's not a reason. And I'm saying to you that God has a purpose for your life, or he would have taken you home before. I'm saying, I talked to my grandma the other day, and she said, you know, I hope I don't get stove up in the house, and I want to do some soul winning. She's 93 this May, 93 years old. And you know, you could say, I don't know why I'm here. Well, you know what she said? Well, as long as I'm here, I think I'll tell some people about Jesus. That's a pretty good purpose, isn't it? And so, you see, the Lord was not imperiled in the storm. Why? Because of who he is, but because of who he knew, and also because of what he knew. He knew why he was there, and he knew that he would not be destroyed until the what and the why was fully performed. The purpose for his coming. Now listen, the Bible says in Philippians 1:6, that he which hath begun a good work in you will be faithful to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That the work of sanctification that the Lord began in you at the moment of conversion, he will be faithful to finish. He will finish the work in you. And when he's done, guess what? He'll bring you home. He'll bring you home when he's all done. You know why you're here? Because God's not done yet. You know why you're here? Because God's got a purpose for you. You know why the ship hasn't sunk, even though it feels like it's going down? Is because God's not done yet. You know why it didn't go down with them? Because God's work wasn't done yet. And the reason why he had peace is because of what he knew. He knew that God had a work given to him, a purpose for his coming to earth, and it wasn't done. And he wasn't going home until the job was done. I'm saying to you that God has a purpose for your life. He wants us to live for his good and his glory, and to fulfill all of the good purpose that he's brought us to this world to fulfill. And it will not be over until God says it's over. For he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when I see myself in Jesus, I can lay my head down on a pillow and sleep in peace. You know why? Because as rough as the winds are and as strong as the current is, and as much as I don't have the energy I think to do it, do you know what? If I'm in Jesus, it doesn't get any more secure than that. I'm hidden with Christ in God. He's my strong tower whereunto I may continually resort. And we thank God that we know that He has this purpose for our lives that He has left us here to perform. I want you to understand something. Why could the Lord be asleep on a pillow in a storm, have peace? Well, because of who He is and because of who He knows and because of what He knew, but because of where He was going. Where was He going? He knew that the destination was the cross. That was the destination. And until He reached that destination, He knew the ship wasn't going down. I want to say this to you. He knew that His intended destination would be reached. Satan tried to stir up the Jews over and over again to destroy Him before He reached the destination of Calvary. Didn't that happen? Oh, they tried to lay hands on Him and He escaped right out from the midst of them. And that happened many times. We know that they tried to conspire throughout the duration of the ministry of our Lord to destroy Him and keep Him from reaching the destination. I believe that Satan tried to kill Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I believe that when those sweat drops of blood proceeded from the brow of Jesus, that there was more stress on that system of Jesus trying to burst His heart right there in the garden to keep Him from the destination of Calvary. That the Lord even cried out with tears, as the Bible reveals to us, that He might be delivered from that. And I believe God spared Him. Why? Because Jesus knew there's a destination I'm going to, and it's a cross on a hill called Calvary. And I want you to understand this. He knew that the ship wasn't going down. He knew that He could lay His head down on a pillow and sleep because He wasn't at the destination yet. He knew where He was going. But I want to say this to you. That He is leading you to a destination. And the ultimate destination is heaven, as it was for Jesus. But the destination here on earth is also a cross. Is also a cross. Say, what do you mean? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, when you came into this world, God set your feet on a course and a path that would lead you by way of an old rugged cross, so that you might, through all of the trials and troubles of life, understand your need of a Savior and recognize you have no control over your circumstances, much less your eternity. And God has led you to a cross where that you can kneel and receive the cleansing and the forgiveness that comes at the foot of Calvary. But I submit this to you, that the Lord is leading you onward to another destination, and it is also a cross where that you are willing to take up the cross of Jesus. And in a profound event in your life, exchange your life as you have chosen to live it for the crucified life of Jesus Christ and take up the cross and follow Him. Sometimes it takes the trouble of life to lead us to that destination. The ultimate destination is heaven. But the Lord knew where He was going. He was going to a cross. And He is leading you also and me also to a cross where that we may be willing to reckon our self life indeed as dead, but see ourselves alive unto Jesus Christ, and where that we could begin to see ourselves in Jesus. Begin to see ourselves as secure. Begin to see ourselves as protected in Him. Begin to see ourselves as exalted and glorified in Him, as chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and that I am hidden with Christ in God. And so when Jesus lays His head down on a pillow in the midst of a storm, and I see myself in Jesus, I could just curl up myself and say, Lord Jesus, none of this is troubling You, and You're in control, and I'm in You, and You're in me. So while You lay down in peace and rest, I think I'll just take a little sleep along with You. Amen. Real peace. From the Prince of Peace, from the King of Peace, in the middle of the storm He slept. I want you to see, lastly, as we close, how could the Lord have such peace in the midst of peril? It is because of what He could do. Oh, it was because of who He is. He's the Lord. And it was because of who He knows. It's the Father. And it was because of what He knew that He had a purpose to fulfill. And it was because of where He was going. It was Calvary. And we're going there as well. But it was because of what He could do. He said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and also in chapter 2, that it pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. So all the fullness of the Godhead bodily was vested in Jesus, and He was able to do anything and everything that needed to be done. All power was His. And I submit this to you, that the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth with Thy right hand and Thine outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Did you hear that? I'm glad that I got two amens out of that, and that I wasn't left hanging out to dry. Did you hear that? He said, ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth with Thy right hand and Thine outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. That marriage that's on the rocks, that relationship that's fractured and splintered, that financial situation that you're in, that tax debt you're looking at, that pink slip you're holding in your hand, that cancer diagnosis, that problem that you're facing, whatever it is, remember that Jesus isn't stressed out about it. And if you're His child, you're in Him and He's in you, and He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow, and you can lay down and rest in Him. Why? Because of who He is. He's the Lord of that situation. Because of who He knows. And friends, He knows the one that can get you out of any problem, and He knows you because of what He knew, that He'd come for a purpose, and God's got a purpose for your life, and He's not done yet, because of where He was going to a cross, and He was leading you to exchange the life that you're now living for the life, the crucified life of Jesus Christ. And it takes a little turbulence in our life to lead us to that second cross experience. But because of what He could do, He could do anything. And there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. What is it today? Got any problems? Got any troubles in your life? Are you all emptied of peace because of that diagnosis, because of that call, because of that situation, because of your kids, because of your grandchildren? What is it today? That legal scenario, that marriage, that relationship, that employer that's wanting to fire? What is it today? You think, I'm lost beneath the sea of despair here, and I'm going under, and does the Lord care that I perish? I'm saying, He's asleep on a pillow. Why? He's God, and He's not troubled about anything, and He's the Lord of your life. And when you begin to see yourself in Him, you can lay down your head on a pillow and sleep right next to Jesus. I'm saying, because of what He could do. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, He's able to subdue all things, even unto Himself, in verse 21. And I want to tell you what, because of what He could do, what God can do, He can do in you. And what God can do, He can do through you. Why? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What can God use you to do? Huh? All things. All things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what my Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 3? It says, ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when I'm in the storm, where does that put me? Snuggling with a pillow, asleep in the boat. And when I stop seeing myself in Jesus, you know where it puts me? Bailing and screaming. But when I see myself in Jesus, you know where it puts me? Asleep on a pillow. That's real peace, my friend. That's real peace. Some of you think, I haven't had a good night's sleep in so long, I can't remember when. Because I don't have any peace in my heart. I lay awake and think about trouble and problems all the time. And I got problems that seem to be bigger than God. Guess what? God wants you to lay down and snuggle up with a pillow. And He'll give you rest. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Do you think that that was just a random thing that they wrote in the Gospels? I kept thinking that. I'm like, why was he asleep? Why did they say he was asleep on a pillow? I mean, that seemed to be such an inconsequential little thing to me when I first read it. And then it began to sink into me. He's Lord. He's the Lord of the sea. He's the Lord of the wind. He's the Lord of the vessel. He's the Lord of the disciples. He's the Lord of the storm. You know what? If you're a Christian, begin to see yourself as you are in Jesus. Fall asleep on a pillow after church is over. And experience real peace in Jesus. In Jesus. And then let me say this as I close. If you're here today and you've never personally come to know the joy of what it means to have your sins all forgiven, you don't know the comfort of knowing that if you died today, that you'd go to heaven. Can I say something to you? That God wants to give you the peace with Him that'll give you the means to lay down and sleep on a pillow like Jesus and have soul rest. It's through a personal relationship with the Savior whose name is Jesus. You can have that today. And if you don't have it, Jesus says, come unto me. You can do that now. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to study your word. Lord, I pray that you would minister to our hearts, and Lord, that you would